Psalm 23, we looked for a couple services that the Lord is my shepherd. What did we learn? That Jehovah, Yahweh, God is my shepherd. And then we looked at I shall not want. If you remember when we looked at I shall not want in the Hebrew, it reads this way, in nothing I am lacking. Why? Because the all-sufficient one is my shepherd. Therefore, in nothing I am lacking. And then we looked last Sunday night at the truth of He makes me lie down in green pastures. And what do we find? We find rest in Him. We find rest in His Word. We find rest in His life. We find rest in His sufficiency as He feeds us every single day of our lives. We find our shepherd is enough. We don't need anything else. We don't need anyone else. We have Him. Today we're going to look at He leadeth me beside the still waters. And we're going to find out today that all peace is found in Him. So let's go through this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before my presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And all God's children said, Amen. Amen. Father, would You speak to us afresh and anew for Your glory? And I'll thank You in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, Amen. You may be seated. Well, I just praise the Lord. For this passage we're going to look at, as we look at this phrase, He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, one of the things that you have to come to a place of realizing is this. If Jesus Christ is enough lying down in green pastures, is there peace anywhere else but in Him? And my answer to that question is obviously, no, there is not. There's no other peace besides the Lord Jesus. Now, to be able to interpret this passage correctly, you first got to realize, what does it mean by still waters? Now, to understand that, there's three places in Scripture we need to look. Because remember this, any shadow and type is going to be referenced in Scripture. Scripture is always the interpretation of itself. So if you want to know what the Old Testament says, study the New Testament. If you want to know what the New Testament is saying, study the Old Testament. You'll find out exactly what it's saying. There's three references to water in the New Testament that I want to key on. And it helps us understand what we're talking about here when it says He leads us beside the still waters. The first one is the reference to thirsting and water in John chapter 4, when Jesus said, if you come unto me athirst and you drink of me, you'll what? Never thirst again. All right, so it speaks first of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, He is the soul-quenching water for every one of our lives. The second reference is in John 7, and it refers to the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that if you come and drink of me, I will give you water, and when I give you water, that from your bowels shall flow rivers of living water, this signifying the Spirit which we shall receive. And so there the reference of water is speaking of the Holy Spirit of God. So in John 4, we see the life of the Lord. In John 7, we see the Holy Spirit of God. Then when we come to Ephesians 5, we see the third reference. It says we are cleansed by the washing of the water of the what? Word. And so there, the water is speaking of the Word. of God. So here's the way I'm going to put it to you. What is these still waters that David's referring to? Well, I believe that this is what God's intention was in that giving David this passage. That the still waters are this, the life of Christ through the Holy Spirit of God by the Word of God for the glory of God. So the life of Christ through the Holy Spirit. How many agree? You can't have the life of Christ without the Holy Spirit. Amen. The life of Christ through the Holy Spirit by the Word of God. What allows the Spirit of God to enable you? What allows you to walk by faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word. And the Spirit of God is always trimming away and cleansing and sanctifying us. And He does that through the Word of God. So, when it says He's leading us beside the still waters, what it's referring to here is David is not referring to the physical, he's referring to the spiritual. Now, is there a physical application to the sheep? Yes, it is. Because in the sheep, this was a physical provision. But we know David's not referring just to the physical. Why? Because look at the beginning of the next verse we'll look at tonight. He restoreth my what? Soul. Now you're going to find out tonight that has a physical reference when it comes to shepherd and sheep. But when he uses the term soul, he's talking about spiritual. He's saying the shepherd restores my soul, my spiritual aspect of my life. And so he's dealing with the spiritual aspect, the shepherd and the sheep. All that the sheep need, they find in the shepherd. They don't have to look anywhere else. They don't have to go anywhere else. It's all found in the shepherd. Now, with all that being said, I want us to look at a few things this morning. The first thing is what I call the objective of the shepherd. What does it mean he leadeth me beside the still waters? What's the objective of the shepherd to lead his sheep to still waters? Well, can I tell you, the objective of the shepherd is the well-being of the sheep. In other words, the shepherd wants what's best for the sheep. So in other words, he's going to lead them to the place where as thirsty, they will drink. And if they come to a place where the shepherd leads them, they'll find in what the shepherd gives them that they'll have adequate supply for their need. Can I tell you, the Lord Jesus is our shepherd, is always, always working on your behalf for His glory to provide for you and to give you and enable you everything that is best for you. You and I need to understand that as Christians, God and God alone knows what's best for you. Now, I know that we think, well, I know what's best for me, and therefore I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. I got news for you. You don't know the tomorrows, but He does. You don't know what's going to happen in 10 minutes, but He does. And therefore, He and He alone knows what's best for you. Now, let me share some things about this. What is this objective of the shepherd and what's best for the sheep? Well, to begin with, you see the place of His leading. Now, what do you mean the place of His leading? Well, He leads them to a peaceful place. Now, you say, why you say a peaceful place? Well, because here's the thing about sheep, as I've said before, they're very timid creatures, and they will not drink. I don't care how thirsty they are. Hey, they could be famished by thirst, but they'll never drink from waters that are fast-moving or noisy waters. They'll only drink from waters that are not fast-moving and not noisy. Why? Because they're too timid to stick their head or their feet in waters that are fast moving or noisy. Therefore, here's what the sheep does. He takes them to a place that is a peaceful place for the sheep, that they could drink in peace and they could finish or fulfill the thirst of their bodies through a peaceful drinking of the waters the shepherd has provided. Now, let me ask you a question. If peace is only in Him, then why do we look everywhere else for peace? I mean, think about it. I mean, how many things do we do in a day that we enjoy, that's going to entertain us, that's going to appeal to whatever appetites we may have, and we think that that is going to bring joy and peace in our life? I got news for you. Peace is only found in Him.
You're not going to find it anywhere else, and you're not going to find it in anything else, because the peace of God is the only thing that can allow you and I to walk in His peace. You know, I've told you this before. The Bible says that we have the peace of God, which means what? Remember the Greek word for of? It's a little preposition. It means out of. It's divine ek. It means out of. And here's what it means. That the peace that literally comes out of God is given to you and I. You say, how did I receive that peace? Well, I'm glad you asked. You got the Prince of Peace when God saved you. So you got God's peace when God saved you. So the moment God saved you, here's what God did. God put the life of His Son, the life of the Spirit, the life of Himself in you. You became the temple, the tabernacle of a holy God. You became the dwelling place of a holy God. And because God is peace, and because Christ is peace, and because the Spirit of God is the ministry of peace, guess what? You got the peace that rules the heart of God. I don't have to manufacture my own peace. God is enough. And it don't matter what I give myself to that I may enjoy. That's a fleeting moment of enjoyment. It's never going to be peace. And so what we find here is the shepherd leads them to a place of peace. The Bible is very clear. Be still and know that what? I am God. What's the word still mean? The still waters here. What's that word still mean? It means this. Peaceful and refreshing. In other words, be still, be peaceful, and know that I am God. Have you ever took time to just stop and just know that He's God? See, our prayer life, 90% of our prayer life is what? Us talking to Him. You ever thought God wants to talk to you? I hear people all the time, well, I don't believe God speaks to man. Really? What do you do with John 10? My sheep hear my voice and follow me. You say, how does He speak to me? Well, I'm glad you asked. He speaks to you through His Word, and He speaks to you by His Spirit. Not necessarily, listen. God doesn't speak audibly, even though He could if He wanted to. But God speaks loudly. You open His Word. Let the Spirit of God speak to you through the Word. I'll tell you something. He'll speak loudly to you. God speaks. And be still and know that I am God. Here's what Jesus told His disciples before He went to the cross. My peace I leave with you. Wait a minute. He's telling His disciples. Now think, when the disciples walked with the Lord Jesus for 33 and a half years, did they ever see the Lord fret? Did they ever see Him worry? Did they ever see the Lord wring His hands? What are we going to do? How about the feeding of what we call the 5,000 is actually far more than 5,000. It's 5,000 men plus the women and children. But anyway, that's beside the point. But let's say the feeding of 5,000. Did you see Jesus wring His hands? I don't know how we're going to feed these folks. So did they see anything about the Lord Jesus other than the peace of God? Now, can you imagine how they would be blown away when the Lord said, my peace I give unto you? That's the peace that rules and reigns your heart as a child of God if you're saved. You and I can experience that kind of peace. And this is the place where the Lord leads His sheep. It's a peaceful place, but it's a prepared place. Now you say, what do you mean? Well, sometimes the shepherd would go out before he leads the sheep to a place, and he would find a place where he can lead them to. In other words, he'll find a place that will be a peaceful place for them to drink. And sometimes the shepherd would have to take a stream or a creek or a flowing water. He'll have to dam it up to where it won't be fully running water. And there, as he prepares that place, then he'll go get his sheep. Then he'll lead his sheep to that place. And listen, and what we find is the shepherd preparing a place for his sheep to be at peace. Now you say, did our shepherd, the Lord Jesus, do that for us? Absolutely. Let me ask you a question on the cross. Did the Lord make every preparation that you and I could have peace? All right, so let me ask you a question. In our lostness, is there any way we could have had peace? Why? Because of the law testified against us. The condemnation of God was against us. But can I tell you what Jesus did on the cross? Jesus dammed back the consequences of the law, the condemnation of God. And on the cross, what did Jesus say? I thirst. But then what did He say? It is what?
finished. And right there, God accepted the sacrifice of His Son, the blood of His Son, and your sin and mine. When we came into a relationship with Him, God said of His Son, He says, I now see them in my Son. Can I tell you, it's not based upon your righteousness, it's based upon the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And God accepts us as His beloved on the basis of our shepherd preparing the way for us. It's a peaceful place. It's a prepared place. It's the place of His leading. I want you to see, secondly, in the objective of the shepherd, the participation in His leading. Notice what it says here. It doesn't say He drives the sheep. It says He what? Leads the sheep. Now, why is that important? Because, listen, God provides. God prepares. God has given us everything we need to live the Christian life. But He's not going to make us walk in it. Now, He'll prepare every way for us to walk in it. He'll remove every obstacle that would keep us from walking in it. But He's not going to make us walk in it. You see, He leads the sheep. Now, here's the way it would work in the culture of that day. You that have been to Israel with me, you'll remember this when we were at the Valley of the Shadow of Death. You remember there's a pathway along the, there's cliff sides on each side of the valley. And I mean, it's desert and it's drop-off cliff sides. And on those cliff sides, on the sides of those cliff sides, are little paths. They're no wider than maybe from here to the edge of this first step. And this is the way the shepherd would lead his sheep through the valley to the other side where they would find green pastures. Because he would have to go south or go north to find the green pastures, because south was all desert. And so he would lead his sheep from south to north, but the pathway was so narrow, he couldn't walk side by side with them. So here's what he would do. He would go in front of them. And he would entrust that his love and care for them had enough effect on them that they would follow behind him. Step by step, one step at a time. Now here's the thing. There would be times that the sheep would say, no, I'm going to go a different way. In other words, the shepherd wouldn't make them follow. But the shepherd would provide the pathway that was the best of their well-being. But the sheep had to stay in step with the shepherd. Now, I was brought up all my life in church. And all my life in church, this is what I heard. Well, Jesus is walking hand in hand with me. Y'all ever heard that? Say amen. Oh, Jesus is walking hand in hand with me. Well, I got news for you. That's not true. You see, I don't want Jesus walking next to me. Because the Bible says Jesus lives. I didn't hear you. What? 1 Corinthians 5 says that He walks in me. So in other words, here's the reality that you and I have as sheep and shepherd. That our shepherd not just walks in us, but He leads us and guides us from within. And all we have to do is yield and obey to Him as He leads us and guides us through this life. But listen, He's not going to make that happen. You and I have to participate in what He does. Now, one Bible scholar I read, his name's Beek, here's what he said. He said that God has to teach us this, and God has to take us through four stages of life to get us to this. And here's the four stages He gave. I thought, man, it lit me up. I loved it. Here's what he said. He said the first stage is the I stage. How many agree when you were lost, it was all about I? I mean, what is the Adam nature? Self-centered, right? So when you were lost, it was all about I. Everything about your life was about what I want, what I need, what I want, what I'm going to do. And then what happened? God saved you. And then all of a sudden, when God saved you, you found out, hey, this is not about me. So then you went from I to I and Him. So now it's I and now it's Him. So in other words, I and Him. But here's what Mr. Beek said, and I love this. He said, but that's not where God wants you. So God takes you to the next stage of life where He grows you in grace and knowledge. And then it becomes not I and not I and Him, but Him and I. But that's not where God wants you.
Because the fourth stage and what God's working in your life and my life, every day of your life if you're saved, is here's the fourth stage. Him only. In other words, the only sufficient, the only provision God made for I is a cross. It's death. And listen, God don't want me to live in the I. He wants me to live in Him and Him alone. Hey, this life ain't about me. It's not about you. It's not about what you want and what I want. It's about what Him and what He wants and what He wants. And for His glory and not ours. It's all about Him. Now here's the way this scholar laid this out. Now, I want to read it to you. Why do you, you know me. Sometimes I'll give you a quote. Why? Because they say it better than I could ever say it. And I want to quote this guy. And I want you to listen carefully of how the Lord Jesus has led us as our shepherd. Listen to what it says. My shepherd, I quote, has led me through the sheepfold door of regeneration by saving grace. He's led me through the vast wilderness of my own soul by discovering grace. He's led me through into a narrow path of sanctification by stripping grace. And besides the spiritual and nutritious wasters of divine refreshment through persevering grace, I am a flock member who has heard the internal calling of His voice, received the spiritual discernment to know His voice, and the saving grace to follow His voice. I am led by the still waters. That's what God's done for. But we had to participate in all that. God could show us we were lost. But I had to see myself the way He saw me. Now, did He have to enable me to see it? Yes. But when He enabled me, I had to say yes. That's me. He's the one that sanctifies us. But I have to participate in that. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is what? All right, so if I'm sanctified through the word, what happens if I don't give myself to the word? I have to participate. Now, when I give myself to the word, guess who sanctifies me? You see, it wasn't me. You say, well, look what I did. No. You just participated in what God's doing. Y'all with me? Say amen. And so there's a participation in this leading. Now, notice the third thing, the profit of this leading. What's the profit of it? Well, first thing, it's perfectly refreshing. Can you imagine? Our tour guide was telling us this last trip, and I've been there in the summer, so I've experienced this as well. I've never took a group here to Israel during the summer, but and I'll tell you why. You better be glad, because in the summer, down at the Dead Sea area, the temperatures in the summer will reach 115, 120 degrees. Now, can you imagine shepherd leading sheep through that kind of temperature? How many agree they'd get hungry pretty quick? I mean, think of all the wool that's on. I mean, so think about this. You walking around the desert, 120 degrees, with a wool coat on. You think you'd get thirsty? Absolutely. So what happens when they follow the shepherd? And he brings them to those still waters. And in their thirst, they stick their head in that still water. Refreshing. Refreshing. So, if the still waters is the life of Christ through the Spirit of Christ, by the Word of God, for the glory of God, then here's the question. Is His life by His Spirit through His Word refreshing to you? Let me ask you a question. How many times have you ever got up to do your quiet time in the morning? And you're going through something in your life. And you're not looking for something specific to what you're going through in your life. You're just studying the Word. And all of a sudden, it's like a passage in the Scripture, comes out of the Scripture, grips your heart, and literally attends to the very thing you're going through in your life. Isn't that awesome? Refreshing. Refreshing. Or maybe this. Maybe you're studying the Word that morning. Nothing's going on in your life. And God gives you a Word. You don't understand what that Word's for, but it just pricks your heart. It penetrates your heart. And He implants it in your heart. And then later on that day, you go through something in your life where that Word becomes very personal to you, becomes a help to you. What do you find? The Word of God by the Spirit of God through the life of God is a refreshing source for your life.
So let me ask you a question. How much time do you drink at His still waters? See, here's what I believe. I believe if you're thirsty, you'll drink. You know, it's an amazing thing. Raising Connor, our son, I found something to be true. Connor's here. He'll say this true. Connor, do you ever have to come to me and say, I'm thirsty, what do I do? No. How many agree? From even a baby, if a baby gets thirsty, what do? Y'all say amen. What do they know they need? Something to drink. I remember when we adopted Connor the first day we had him, we had a bassinet in our bedroom, and because all our furniture was storage, we just moved to Pope Drive, Chuck. I'd been there 2 months. All our furniture was still in storage. I had 2 lawn chairs and a bed. That's all I had in my house. And I get a call that somebody wanting us to adopt Connor. And so we went and picked him up. They had a bassinet. We stuck it in our bedroom, and because we didn't have monitors, we didn't have any of that stuff then. And I'll never forget, about 2 in the morning, Connor woke up screaming to the top of his lungs. I was ready to call 911. I've never been a parent. I mean, I thought this kid was dying on me. And then all of a sudden, my wife just took a bottle and stuck it in his mouth. And he's like, see, I didn't have to teach him when he's thirsty to drink. So why do we have to prod people to go to the water of His Word? Could it be they're never thirsty? So you see the participation. You see the prophet. It's refreshing. It's peacefully reassuring. Can you imagine as these sheep go week after week, day after day with this shepherd, and continuously he takes them to still waters over and over and over again? How do you think it makes these sheep feel? Do you not think it teaches them that they can trust their shepherd, that when they're thirsty, their shepherd will provide a place for them to drink? It reminds them, it reassures them of the sufficiency of their shepherd, the love and the care of their shepherd. Hey, listen, every time you open the Word of God, every time you drink from His water, I want to tell you something. God gives you a word, reassures you, refreshes you. It's God reminding you, I know where you are. I know what you need, and I have the answers to everything. Thirdly, not only do you find that it's refreshing, reassuring, but you find it's rewarding. You say, what do you mean it's rewarding? Well, now the sheep have all that they need to function. Folks, listen. None of us know how to live the Christian life without Christ. Matter of fact, I hear people say all the time, well, if you commit yourself, you can live the Christian life. I got news for you. You can commit yourself all you want. You're going to fail living the Christian life. Because there's only one person who lived the Christian life. And that's Jesus Christ. Amen. I yield and submit to Him and surrender to Him, and then He lives through me and through you. And so the only source that I have is Him. But how rewarding when you drink of His life. Let me show you the second thing. Not only the objective of the shepherd, but the obstinance of the sheep. The obstinance of the sheep. You say, what do you mean? Well, let me just walk through real quickly with you real quick. The independence of the sheep. Sometimes sheep get independent. And as sheep are wanderers, the shepherd may be out in front leading the sheep along one of those narrow paths along the cliffside or along a field, and he's out in front leading the sheep, trusting his sheep is following. Every now and then, maybe he turns around and looks to see if any of the sheep are missing. But here's the reality of it. There can be a time, a sheep in the back or a sheep towards the end of the flock, and all of a sudden they find something over here that appeals to them, and they veer off and begin to break off from the flock. They become independent of the leadership of the shepherd, and all of a sudden now they begin to walk in a path of their own. You say, are we really like that? Oh, yes.
You say, why? Because I want to tell you something. Even though you have a divine nature when God saved you, you still have that old Adam nature about you. The Bible says the flesh warreth against the spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary one to another. And there's times when you and I take an independent streak. Instead of being submissive and surrendered to the shepherd, we get independent and we say, hey, I want to go my own way today. There's the independence of the sheep. But then there's the insecurity of the sheep. Here's the amazing thing about sheep. When they're thirsty, they're restless. And when they're restless, they will do whatever it takes to find that will give them rest. And in insecurity, here's what will happen. The shepherd's leading them. He knows just ahead, over the horizon, over the hill, is those still waters. He's went and he's prepared. They're ready. They're refreshing. They're going to be reassuring. They're going to reward the sheep. But yet the sheep is restless. They're thirsty. And all of a sudden along the way, they look over on the side. There's a mud puddle. And all of a sudden they veer off from the flock. They stick their head in that mud puddle. Why? Because they're insecure. Because they come to the place of self-preservation. I've got to do it myself. I've got to do it myself. I've got to do my best. God will do the rest. I got news for you. Your best is filthy rags. Only God can do it. Because we get insecure. We don't wait upon the Lord to renew our strength. But then thirdly, there's the ignorance of the sheep. Now you say, preacher, you've offended me. Because you said through this whole study, we're sheep. I love you, say amen. How many times have I said through this study, sheep are one of the dumbest creatures there are? So what do you mean the ignorance of the sheep? Well, I'm not talking about intellectual ability. I'm talking about this, applying it to us. Without Christ, we're spiritually ignorant. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 2? For the natural man, the things of God are what? Foolishness to them. Neither can they know them, for they are spiritually what? So without the Spirit of God, do you have any like to Scripture? I have people all the time tell me, I don't read the Bible. I say, why don't you read the Bible? I don't understand. Well, can I tell you, right there, they put a sign on their chest saying they don't have the Spirit of God. Not to say we're going to understand all of it. Hey, guess what? I warred over this passage this morning. I had a, and I mean this in a not a confrontational way, I had a knockout dragout with Howie and Mike over this passage. I was tore up about it. They were trying to help me. Y'all say amen. Because it gripped me. So we're always learning. We're always growing in grace and knowledge. But here's what happens with sheep. When they veer off and they find that mud puddle and they stick their head in that mud puddle, here's how ignorant they are. They don't realize that in that mud puddle or in that pool of water that the shepherd didn't lead them to, there may be parasites, there may be germs, there may be disease that could literally cost them their life. They don't understand that the deeds that they embarked upon could destroy them. They have no comprehension of it. So what happens? The shepherd's got to teach them. Over and over again, the shepherd's got to teach them how dependent they are upon him. Y'all say amen. Amen. Now, look at the last thing, and I'm done. The outflow of the Spirit. So we've seen the objective of the shepherd. We've seen the obstinance of the sheep. But now the outflow of the Spirit. There's two things I want you to see with this. The first thing is what I call a single satisfaction. Now where do you get this from? From the verse I quoted earlier. It's found in John 4. You remember the Lord Jesus met with a woman at the well. And when he met with the woman at the well, here's what he told the woman at the well. Listen, John 4, 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water, talking about the water of the well, shall what? But whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him, what is he referring to? His life. Shall what? I didn't hear you. Shall what? Never thirst again. And listen to what he goes on to say. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well. Shall be in him a well.
of water springing up into everlasting life. Can I tell you what David's saying here? He said, because my shepherd has led me to the still, pure, refreshing, reassuring waters over and over again, I'm not satisfied with drinking from any other source. Because if I drink from his water, I'll never what? Thirst again. Now you say, well, preacher, the Bible says as Christians we ought to hunger and thirst after righteousness. We should. But here's what it's saying. You'll never have a thirsty soul that's empty of life ever again. He is sufficient for us in life. How many things in your day would you say satisfies you? That is not him and not his word. Now, listen. Does God give us joys on this earth? Hey, how many agree our family can be a joy? Gift from God. God gives us things like that. But I'm asking this in this realm. How many things satisfies you more than how much you dip your head in the well of his word? You love me? Say amen. I'm trying to help you. You see, his water becomes a single satisfaction for your life. Secondly, there's the supernatural service that comes out of his water. You know what happens when a thirsty sheep drinks? He's equipped to function as a sheep. Amen. How many agree? You got a sheep that's thirsty to death. Is he going to function like a normal sheep? No. He's going to get delirious. He's going to get awkward. He's going to get restless. He's going to get rebellious. But when a sheep has drank and he's full, here's what happens. He functions as a surrendered sheep to a shepherd. You say, well, how does that apply to us? Well, I'm glad you asked. John chapter 7. Now, before I read the text, let me remind some of you or let you in on something about John 7. All right, John 7 starts with the Feast of the Tabernacles. Now, the Feast of the Tabernacles, here's what took place. It was an 8-day feast. First 7 days, here's what took place. The priest would go, he would take a pitcher, he would go outside the water gate, he would go out to the pool, he would take the pitcher, dip it in the pool, and he would walk back through the water gate, walk to the temple, walk into the temple, walk to the altar of the temple, and he would dump the water on the temple, signifying all the blessings God's poured out to Israel over the years. Praising God, look at the blessings you've poured out to us. 7 days, repeat that thing every time. The 8th day, the last day of the great feast, the priest would go outside the water gate. He'd take the same pitcher. This time he wouldn't dip it in the pool. This time he would leave it empty. He would turn around and walk back into the gate, walk back to the same altar. And this time, symbolically, he would take an empty pitcher and he would dump that empty pitcher up on the altar, saying, there's one blessing you haven't given us yet. The Messiah has not yet come. So y'all got the picture, say amen. Y'all got that, say amen. Now, with that said, listen to the text. In the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, can you imagine as that priest was pouring that empty pitcher, saying, oh, but the Messiah, he's not yet come yet. At that moment, Jesus stood up and he said, hey, if any man thirst, come unto me. What was he saying? Hey, you're looking for a blessing. God's already gave it to you. Here I am. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow what?
rivers of living water. What are these rivers? I'm glad you asked. Read the next verse. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Here's what Jesus said. He said, hey, you're looking for the Messiah. I'm telling you, I am. He stood up. He said, if any man thirst, here I am. He said, come drink of me. You won't thirst anymore, and I'll give you living water. And this living water will be a river, a flowing river of water that flows through your bowels. And I'll give you my Holy Spirit one day. And as my Holy Spirit's given to you, he said, here's what's going to happen. He said, you've drank of my life. That's eternal life. He said, you're drinking of my Spirit. That's the enabling power of God. And he said, you're drinking of my Spirit by the Word of God. And I'm going to cleanse you. And I'm going to sanctify you. And I'm going to purify you. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to plant the Word in you, because you've drank of me. You drank of my Spirit. You drank of my Word. And the Word is going to be lived out through you. Rivers of living water. Not held back still waters. Rivers of living water. So here's the deal. Be still and know that I'm God. And he'll let you drink of the peaceful waters of his life, his Spirit, and his Word. But when you drink of the still waters, the rivers of living waters will begin to flow in your life. Guys, listen to me. Would God get us to the place that there's only one source we want to drink from? But how many times, when God's prepared that source through teaching, preaching, study, how many times do we choose another source because it's more convenient or it appeals to our flesh? Would we understand that there's one still water, and that's the life of Christ through the Spirit of Christ, by the Word of Christ, for the glory of God? When you drink of that, you're going to be refreshed moment by moment, day by day. You're going to be reinsured moment by moment, day by day. And you're going to be rewarded. How? Because you're going to know that he's enough. And he's all you need. So here's the invitation. It's going to be very simple. You may be here today, and you just have to be honest. And you'd have to be honest and say, the preacher, there's just not that thirst in me. There's never been that thirst in me. I'm thirsting for everything else this world has to offer, trying to find peace, trying to find enjoyment, trying to find something that comforts. But right here, right now, I realize through the Holy Spirit's conviction that really what I need before I could ever get peace is I need a shepherd, because he is the peace. If God's showing you that today, here's what God's saying. I'm ready to save you right here, right now. You may be here today and you say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know the day God changed me. I know the day I've never been the same. I became a new creature in Christ, and old things pass away and all things become new. I know that day. But preacher, I'm just going to be honest. There's times that I get independent and I don't thirst and hunger for righteousness like I need to. There's times I try to dip my head in the muddy waters of this world and of those things that entertain my flesh, instead of burying my head in the still waters of his Word. And right now,
I just want a drink of Him. How about coming, getting on an old-fashioned altar and just saying, Father, I've been a disobedient sheep, but You always restore the soul. So right here, right now, I just want a drink of You and of Your Word. I want it to satisfy me more than anything else in my life. And I want You to get me to the place where I cannot be satisfied with anything else above Your Word and Your life. So whether saved or lost, here's the invitation. Come and drink. The water's pure. The water's good. Christ is sufficient. Father, have Your will and Your way in this invitation. Glorify Yourself in what You do and how You do it. And Father, we'll thank You and we'll praise You, for You're worthy of all praise and all honor. Father, may You build within us a Holy Spirit desire to just drink from Your well, and not from a well of our own making, but just drink from Your well for Your glory. And Father, if there's anybody here today that You know they're not Yours, I pray that Your gentle but profound, powerful conviction of the Holy Spirit would so grip their hearts even now. And they would realize that their despair and their despondency and the absence of peace is because they don't have a shepherd. Oh, but Father, You've opened the sheepfold door this morning. You're inviting them into the flock. Oh, may they respond and say yes to You. So glorify Yourself in what You do during this invitation, and I'll give You the praise in Jesus' name. And all God's children said,